Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We've been looking at current events over the last several months that seem to be indicating the foundation being built for a coming world, one world religion, one world government. And I had commented some time ago on an article concerning one world government, a summit that was held. And of course, there's been many, and I've commented on more than one. But most recently, our friends over at the Parliament of World Religion, on their website, had an article called Coming Soon, the Climate Commitments Project Web Hub, of course, having to do with climate change and all. And last week, I had commented on all the people getting on the bandwagon, all the liberal Democrats who wanted to, you know, warn us that we only have 12 years left before we're doomed because of the environment and such. And, you know, it's all about control and power, and it's all about using whatever means people can to control the masses, I believe. And I want to see a clean environment as much as anybody. But anyway, the point is that they're telling us these, I will say that they're false prophets since their predictions don't come true. And we have Al Gore, of course, is the perfect example for that, of that. But I went over the list of articles last week that were current events in the news, current event articles concerning politicians who are warning us we have 12 years left. And I'm thinking, hey, it didn't work out for Al Gore to become president when he was warning us of all this stuff. So I don't get it. But anyway, and so I referenced the article last week concerning Al Gore and warnings that he made 10 years ago. And we will continue to progress as we look at the building of the one world government as it continues to go forward. But I want to comment again on this former vice president in this article concerning him, in reference to all the other Democrat liberals who are also telling us that it's all over in 12 years or whatever. This is Al Gore. This is from Natural News site. 10 years ago, Al Gore warned the North Polar ice cap would be gone by the year 2013. Hint, it's still there. When Al Gore told a German audience in 2008 that the ice cap on the North Pole would be gone in 5 years, many people were alarmed. It's something he had been saying for years, and he somehow had enough credibility that lots of people took his words at face value. If he was right, it should be long gone by now, and yet somehow it's still there. In fact, when 2013 did roll around, the polar ice cap was reportedly at its highest level since 2006. NASA satellite photos taken in August 2014 showed a 60% increase in the size of the polar ice cap, reaching more than half the size of Europe, a far cry from being completely melted. Shouldn't the opposite be happening if global warming is real? You know, obviously, there's different parts of the world that are experiencing heating up and others are cooling down. And anyway, it's a fluid situation out there, folks. He has reported some variation of this headline-grabbing prediction time and time again. In January 2006, for example, he said that within the next 10 years, the world will reach a point of no return, emphasizing his belief that global warming would cause a true planetary emergency. Interestingly, the climatologist whose work was the basis of this prediction, Dr. Wiesław Moskalski, refuted Gore's claims in 2009, saying, "It's unclear to me how this figure was arrived at. I would never try to estimate likelihood at anything as exact as this." This kind of reminds me of these recent Democrats with their 12-year prediction. He also said that he was very clear about the fact that he did not expect the Northern Ocean to be completely ice-free at that time. Climate change hype is politically motivated. Well, that goes without saying to those of us who have a little common sense and wisdom. This story serves to illustrate how some computer models get it all wrong. After all, they're set up by people with biases and people who can be paid to make it say whatever they want it to say. What it all boils down to is the fact that global warming is more of a political concept than a scientific one, and science is merely used to lend it an air of authenticity. Even with all the technology available to us today, meteorologists still can't give us a definitive answer about whether or not it will rain a few days from now. So it stands to reason that these doomsday global warming projections for years and decades from now are equally unreliable. All right. Now, I want to go back to that article in the Parliament of World Religions I got from their website about the Climate Commitments Project Web Hub. Let's see what they say. At the Parliament of World Religions, sustainability and concern for the environment, including climate change, have been integral to our mission since our founding. That term sustainability, I see that all the time now. For close to a year, the Parliament team, under the leadership of our Climate Action Task Force and Director of Climate Action, Joshua Bassofin, has been developing the Climate Commitments Project. This is a new effort within the Parliament's Climate Action Program to coordinate and strengthen interfaith and faith-based commitment climate commitment campaigns. The project annually launched in November at the Toronto convening, that is the convening of the Parliament of World Religions in Toronto. Leaders of nearly every religion have called upon individuals to recognize the science of climate change, rededicate ourselves to the earth as our planetary home, and pledge to address climate change as the greatest threat to our future. That's interesting, because some time ago in the podcasts I was doing on about, you know, the coming world government, I mentioned the book, The Report from Iron Mountain. And in that book, whoever wrote the book, because it's unclear who wrote it and exactly what the purposes of it were, but in that book, it supposedly was, you know, elitists, government elitists and other types who were discussing how to basically maintain control and power over the populace, you know, in the world. And they had looked at all different types of possibilities. You know, war is always the really one good one, you know, to go with. But in the case of peace, what do you do? So things like alien invasion was a topic that came to mind, but they figured, nah, nobody will really believe that. They would now. In fact, I would say that's probably going to be more than likely more of an issue than the global warming, you know, the climate change stuff, for causing people fear, or even as an explanation for after the rapture comes, of course. And that's not, you know, anything new that I'm sharing there, but it seems pretty logical that that's what people will conclude when the rapture happens, is like, wow, what happened to these people? Must have been aliens. But anyway, at that time, this book written in the 70s, I believe, 60s or 70s, they kind of threw out that idea. They forgot about the UFO stuff, but they really did think about the environmental issue as being something to scare people into line with. And so for global government control, that was something that was spoken of even way back then. So obviously there are naive, sincere people who believe it all. And of course, if they've been deceived into many of these New Age false religion type situations, it would probably be not hard to believe that they could believe that, oh yes, you know, we're all going to die in 12 years and we got to do something. But, you know, a little history would help them. Like if they look at that article I just read concerning Al Gore. But anyway, I digress. You know, I wanted to mention that report from Iron Mountain because, like I say, that was something that elites apparently, or very possibly these elite secret people, were considering as a way to control people. They had to have something to make people fearful, to, you know, to turn away from rationality to leaders. anyway, according to Joshua, let me get back to that quote. Leaders of nearly every religion have called upon individuals to recognize the science of climate change, rededicate ourselves to the earth as our planetary home, and pledge to address climate change as the greatest threat to our future. As people of faith and conscience, we are committed to heed this call. You know, you can also kind of see how world religions and world government can kind of go hand in hand, because if you get enough people in all of these world religions who believe a lie or believe a deception, Well, they can go real political and secular and governmental now, can't they? You know, we can start getting together with the UN and others. And even though we're religious and that's our main thing, you know, they might say, hey, but we got to do something. You know, we got to work within the political spectrum and get things fixed and all that. So, you know, you can see, again, the possibilities for how the foundation is being laid for a future, the future Antichrist, to step into it and come in and save the world, so to speak, save Mother Earth. But you can say the way people thinking, especially those who reject the gospel, who are described in Romans chapter 1, and people who really have reprobate minds. You know, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, of the Spirit of God changing their life, the Word of God changing them. And so they turn to myths and fantasies, you know. There's a lot of warning in the Word of God to where mankind in rebellion against God, the things that mankind can believe when they reject the truth, it's just amazing. So according to Joshua Bosafin, the Parliament's Director of Climate Action, we have everything we need to decarbonize, but we must change our mindset. It's a matter of appealing to the billions of people affiliated with faith traditions around the world to commit themselves, not from a place of judgment, but a place of compassion and solidarity. The ability of faith communities to affect change in the world is immense. What, and you know, that sounds a bit to me like Rick Warren's peace plan, if you're familiar with that. And I can't go into detail now about that, but I believe probably a lot of my listeners would be familiar with that. What if we could connect all these commitments to confront climate change from around the world? What would we accomplish if we were all united in this universal goal? Wait a minute, isn't that what they said in chapter 11 when they all talked about building a tower into heaven? the Tower of Babel, or Babel, however you like to say it. You know, what could we accomplish? That's basically the same kind of thing they were saying. What could we accomplish if we can all come together and do this thing and form this oneness? So, pretty amazing. History definitely repeats itself, only the first time God destroyed their attempts. The second time, they will have a short-lived world government that the Antichrist will run, but history will repeat itself and God will eventually judge it. So the article goes on to say the Climate Commitments Project is doing just that. Our web hub will launch in spring 2019. It may have already sprung. All right. Now, let me just say this, because I know it's been a while. It's been some time ago that this event took place. But happy belated Earth Day to you all. As I was studying these things and going over information, you know, it came to my mind that, you know, Earth Day, the whole idea of Earth Day, it seems like sort of a counterfeit Easter. You know, where people basically, a lot of people involved with this are basically worshiping the earth rather than the one who rose from the earth, you know, Jesus. And very interesting, of course, because this last Easter was on April the 21st, and Earth Day, of course, is on April the 22nd. And so, you know, just interesting in light of what we're talking about with climate change and taking care of Mother Earth and all this other stuff. I wanted to look over some information here with you. I got so you know, for those of you who are not familiar with this joyous event, Earth Day, I've got something from the Earth Day website. Each year, Earth Day, April 22nd, marks the anniversary of the birth of the modern environmental movement in 1970, setting the stage for the first Earth Day. Let's see. Earth Day 1970 gave voice to the emerging consciousness, channeling the energy. I like this terminology. Channeling the energy of the anti-war protest movement and putting environmental concerns on the front page. The idea for the first Earth Day, the idea for a national day to focus on the environment, came to Earth Day founder Gaylord Nelson, then a U.S. senator from Wisconsin, after witnessing the ravages of the 1969 massive oil spill in Santa Barbara, California. Inspired by the student anti-war movement, he realized that if he could infuse that energy with an emerging public consciousness about air and water pollution, It would force environmental protection onto the national political agenda. This is just a two-page article. I have more. I'm going to be quoting some quotes from Carl Takerab's booklet from Lighthouse Trails Publishing in a little bit. So I'm just bouncing around here. As 1990 approached, a group of environmental leaders asked Dennis Hayes to organize another big campaign. This time, Earth Day went global, mobilizing 200 million people in 141 countries and lifting environmental issues onto the world stage. Earth Day 1990 gave a huge boost to recycling efforts worldwide and helped pave the way for the 1992 United Nations Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. And I had quite a bit to say about that some time ago in this long series that I've been doing. Let's see. This time, Earth Day today, okay, this time focused on global warming and a push for clean energy. Okay, with 5,000 environmental groups in a record 184 countries reaching out to hundreds of millions of people, Earth Day 2000, 19 years ago, combined the big picture feistiness of the first Earth Day with the international grassroots activism of Earth Day 1990. Earth Day 2000 used the power of the internet to organize activists, but also featured a drum chain that traveled from village to village in Gabon, Africa. And then, Earth Day has reached its current status as the largest secular observance in the world, celebrated by more than a billion people every year, and a day of action that changes human behavior and provokes policy changes. And, you know, when you think about that, when people mobilize to act upon the world's behalf or Mother Earth's behalf or whatever, it's pretty amazing what takes place and what can happen. I was going to comment. I'm going to wait to do any further comment on that. So anyway, let's move to this is the booklet Carl Takerab. Sometimes I butcher people's name. I'm really sorry about that. Takerab, I believe is how Carl's name is pronounced. And anyway, Carl's done a great deal of work, good ministry work, discernment ministry type work. And his little booklet, Earth Day and a Total Transformation for a Post-Christian World, gets into the details of what this website doesn't really tell you. When it talks about channeling energy, it's not really talking about New Age spiritual channeling, but it might as well have, because when you see what's involved with a lot of this, it's very pagan, okay? And he goes into some great detail in this booklet, and I want to inform you of some of that information now. Now, some initial comments that can be made here. In our contemporary era, Earth Day has become the modern celebration of Gaia, worshiping Mother Earth, in other words. Partakers of this event, whether aware of it or not, and that's the key, many are not aware, but many are, play off the ancient pagan beliefs of a universal mother. Like the old sacrifices to the deity, today's Earth Day practitioners offer sacrifices of good works to the planet. Not only is the Earth a deity to be venerated, but the Earth itself, as the representative and embodiment of the goddess, has become a modern-day idol. Do all who engage in Earth Day festivities realize the connections between this event and the ancient pagan deity? Some do, especially those who take a neo-pagan position, but many are unaware, thinking it's a family-oriented way to engage in environmental conservation. Much good is done during Earth Day, such as cleaning up stream beds or planting trees, but that's not the issue. Motivated by good intentions, scores of individuals, including professing Christians, participate without ever considering what Earth Day actually is about or the philosophies that underpin the movement. James Coburn, who was an actor, of course, was interviewed by Carol Matriciana. I always knew how to say her name. I don't know what's wrong with me. During the Malibu Beach Earth Day Festival. Mr. Coburn, why should we care about Earth Day or Mother Earth? James Coburn, Mother Earth is our mother. She's the mother goddess. She's the one we should be praising rather than raping. I mean, all of these people here today are here for one reason, because they're concerned about what's happening to the earth. Okay. What we have to do is to be true to ourselves. If we're true to ourselves, we'll be true to Mother Earth. We've lost our way. The pagans used to know how to do it, and the Indians, some of them still remember how to do it. The earth is a living organism. We're killing the one we love the most, and she loves us. We've got to praise our Mother Goddess. Well, I don't. I praise my Father God. But anyway, you see, what a lot of people that are involved with this believe is paganism. When Earth Day was first inaugurated in 1970, Newsweek called the event a bizarre nationwide rain dance. The New York Times, however, said it was an idea whose time has come, because life is running out. Earth and the race of mankind needed to be saved from intolerable deterioration and possible extinction. Let's see, from the automotive giant Toyota to every urban center in North America, from the United Nations to the National Council of Churches, Earth Day is far more than a bizarre rain dance. It's a platform for global citizenship and Earth loyalties. Okay, the idea for Earth Day goes back to 1962, and Senator Nelson, we talked a little bit about that. I'll move on here. Okay, new ethics and a common set of values were to guide this movement and act as the inspiration for college students in their environmental advocacy. This is good. Paul Ehrlich, and I remember his book, The Population Bomb, many years ago. I read that many years ago. And he contributed the following doomsday scenario to ignite the impressionable minds. By 1973, air pollution would be choking cities, causing single-event smog disasters, with death tolls in the hundreds of thousands, all heralding the advent of a global air quality collapse that would make the planet uninhabitable sometime before 1990. Sort of makes me think of Beta O'Rourke and O.C. and, Al Gore and some of these predictions and these paranoid, delusional prophecies that are coming out from these politicians. This guy was saying this stuff in the 70s. Of course, it didn't happen. Now, I do believe God, of course, is going to judge one day. You'll hear me totally believe that. The Bible says that God is going to do some serious judging. You know, and for those that reject Christ, it's going to be a real bad hair day, so to speak. I mean, I don't mean to be light about that, but judgment is coming. But that's what I believe. All this is a counterfeit. Once again, it's a fake religion with its own fake catastrophes and judgments, and earth changes is a term that's popular in New Age circles as well as in Native American circles. In UFO circles, earth changes, all these terrible, awful things are going to happen to the planet, volcanoes and earthquakes and blah, blah, blah. Well, you read the Bible and a lot of really bad stuff's coming, but God is gracious and patient with people, and but at some point in time he will. But I think all the rest of this that's happening, of course, that we're hearing about is a counterfeit of that judgment of God's that will be coming. Now, excuse me, I'm rearranging some papers here. Okay. All right. A National Family Planning Program would have to be set up alongside an international agenda to curb the human population. That's what Paul Ehrlich was saying in the 70s when he wrote the book The Population Bomb. He said, by the summer of 1979, the world's oceans would be dead and all sea-based animal life extinct. What? That didn't happen, did it? Did I miss something? Anyway, does any of this sound familiar? Warming may trigger archaeological collapse, so reported the Interpress Service in 2007. Fish stocks could collapse because of global warming, announced an Associated Press article in 2008. Professor John Brignell says, an author and social researcher, posted his observations regarding climate change and fear. Got a problem? Blame global warming. From allergies to maple syrup shortages to yellow fever, apparently every contemporary ill is caused by climate change. Brignell's website lists no less than 300 alleged problems or pseudo-problems attributed to global warming. This documented list includes crabgrass, kidney stones, inflation in China, invasions of jellyfish and giant oysters, the Loch Ness Monster dying, fish getting lost, an upcoming ice age, conflict with Russia, sour grapes and stronger wine, farms going under and farm output boosted. The Atlantic becoming more salty and less salty. Smog, terrorism, fainting, and smaller brains. The way so many are acting these days, I tend to believe this last one. That is, smaller brains. I like that, Carl. That's a good one. Anyway, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Is this a scare tactic for global transformation? Consider the following quotes. We have to offer up scary scenarios, make simplified dramatic statements, and make little mention of any doubts we may have. Okay. Now this is actually the International Institute for Sustainable, there's that word again, Sustainable Development. They also made a comment right before that. Things need to be strategically exaggerated in order to establish it firmly on an agenda for action. And then, of course, I just read the quote about scary scenarios. We have to offer up scary scenarios. Make little mention of any doubts we may have. That's Professor Stephen Schneider. And then Christine Stew, former Canadian Minister of Environment, says, no matter if the science is all phony, there are collateral environmental benefits. Climate change provides the greatest chance to bring about justice and equality in the world. Collateral environmental benefits. This is what Carl is saying in the booklet. Collateral environmental benefits. This is questionable at best, so much so that over 31,000 scientists have signed a petition that challenged the human-caused global warming line and openly suggested that increasing atmospheric carbon dioxide may have benefits. Moreover, justice and equality are legal and social issues, not atmospheric. Again, this points to the heart of the matter, social transformation. Of course, you know, social gospel, social justice warriors comes to mind. On religion, here's some comments on religion. Christianity, in absolute contrast to ancient paganism and Asia's religions, not only established a dualism of man and nature, but also insisted that it is God's will that man exploit nature for his proper ends. That's a quote from a man named Len White. And this comes from the Environmental Handbook, I believe. And you know what? I'm just about out of time. So we're going to pick up next week from the very helpful booklet by Carl Teichrib and about Earth Day and how these things are, I believe, are all parts of the building blocks, the building materials to lay the foundation for the coming new world order, the one world government. That's what we're talking about now, is the one world government. But the one world religion is never far behind, far away, as we will continue to see on the basis of some of the other religious beliefs and such. God bless you all. I hope you'll join us again next week. Good night.